You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. For the love of money, the factors keeping refined product prices high, even as crude prices fall. Published by Lisa Scheidler. Refined product prices have remained elevated this summer even as crude oil prices have fallen from their 2026 highs set just a few months ago. While several factors are contributing to the differential trends between crude and product prices, the overwhelming reason is that global supply and demand is much tighter in product markets than crude markets. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss the main drivers behind the seeming disconnect between the two. This is the latest blog offering insights from our newly released Future of Fuels report. In Waiting on the World to Change, we discussed our forecast for lower global crude oil prices and a potential rollback in U.S. production in the next few years. More recently, Go with the Flow took a look at some of the key developments, including the Strait of Hormuz closure, U.S. intervention in Venezuela, and plans for a new wave of refined product pipelines into the West Coast that have already shaken up the market in a big way, with more changes likely to come. Crude oil and refined products are major components of our upcoming School of Energy Fundamentals, a two-day conference designed to help professionals build their understanding of energy markets, from production and infrastructure to exports, pricing, and end-use demand. The conference is September 9th to 10th in Houston, and the early bird rate, a $500 discount, expires August 12th. As noted in the introduction, the biggest factor keeping product prices elevated this year has been the emergence of a refined product shortage. The most important drivers have been the disruption of normal vessel traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, damage inflicted on refineries in the Persian Gulf region, and the similar severe degradation of Russian refining operations by accelerated and more effective Ukrainian drone strikes. Contributing to these global product shortages are Chinese policies limiting product exports, a lack of new refining capacity coming online, and the impacts of a number of permanent refinery shutdowns over the past 18 months. Within the U.S. in particular, regulatory policies that have pushed renewable identification number or RIN prices to record levels have added to the high product prices. We'll look at each of these drivers in turn, beginning with the Strait of Hormuz, and also provide some takes on longer-term refining prospects. The closure of the Strait of Hormuz has had a major impact on markets by removing significant volumes of exportable barrels from an already tight market. Refined product exports from Persian Gulf countries, excluding Iran, collapsed from more than 3.3 million barrels per day in 2025 to just over 1 million barrels per day by April, a loss of more than 2 million barrels per day. The decline is concentrated in clean products such as diesel, jet fuel, and gasoline, which have tightened global supply and kept margins elevated. If operations remain severely limited, the squeeze will continue to be felt most acutely in these products. The disruption is not solely the result of shipping constraints. Iranian strikes have also inflicted significant damage on several of the region's largest refineries, limiting their ability to produce exportable fuels even as shipping routes gradually reopen. Several Persian Gulf refineries have taken serious damage from Iranian strikes, with the following facilities especially impacted. Number 1. The recently expanded 405,000 barrels per day Bapco refinery in Bahrain suffered the most severe damage and is not expected to be fully repaired until sometime in 2027. Number 2. The 460,000 barrels per day Satorp refinery in Jubail, Saudi Arabia, also saw extensive damage and is operating at reduced rates. It is not expected to return to full rates until early 2027. Number 3. The 417,000 barrels per day ADNOC Ruwais West refinery in the UAE and the 346,000 barrels per day KNPC Mina Al Ahmadi refinery in Kuwait also experienced moderate to severe damage from Iranian drone attacks. Russian refinery outages have also become a major driver of higher product prices. Ukraine has sharply increased the volume, range, and effectiveness of its drone strikes, causing Russian refining operations to deteriorate rapidly. What began as temporary, isolated outages have turned into widespread, long-lasting disruptions, with nearly every major refinery hit, many of them multiple times. Estimated crude runs fell from about 5 million barrels per day in 2025 to roughly 3.4 million barrels per day in July, the lowest level in decades and only about half of the installed capacity of 6.7 million barrels per day. Damage to critical processing units, including crude distillation units, fluid catalytic crackers, hydrocrackers, reformers, hydrotreaters, storage facilities, and export infrastructure, has reduced clean product output even more than overall refinery throughput. China is still a special case. While it has excess refining capacity and is a net product exporter, these exports are strictly controlled by the government. In March, China slashed export quotas significantly to prioritize domestic supply due to the Middle East war and Hormuz closure. This resulted in exports falling by about 40% year-over-year through May. While export restrictions were eased beginning in July, volumes remain below capabilities. Longer term, China will continue to prioritize domestic needs and is expected to keep closing smaller independent teapot refineries, with another 300,000 barrels per day of teapot capacity likely to disappear over the next few years, while some newer, more complex plants come online. Over time, there will also be rationalization at older fuels-focused state-owned refineries, such as the 410,000 barrels per day Dalian refinery, which was shuttered in 2025, as China tries to keep total capacity capped. In the U.S., the West Coast is shorter on products after Phillips 66 closed its 139,000 barrels per day Wilmington refinery near Los Angeles in Q4 2025, and Valero shuttered its 150,000 barrels per day Bay Area refinery in Benicia in Q1 2026, see I need more. While this improves the short-term outlook for the refineries that remain, it increases the need for imports, particularly of jet fuel and gasoline. Longer term, more closures still look likely later in the decade and into the 2030s. Our latest edition of Future of Fuels takes a detailed year-by-year analysis of refined product balances in each of the U.S. PADs and what they will mean for future refinery capacity rationalization. Europe has a variety of issues and is particularly vulnerable to product shocks. After a recent round of shutdowns, three refineries and a total of over 400,000 barrels per day of refining capacity was permanently closed in 2025. There are no big closures currently planned through 2030, although Neste has announced that its Porvoo, Finland, complex is phasing out petroleum refining by the mid-2030s, and existing refineries are benefiting from the tight product markets. Some outside buyers are showing interest in facilities that legacy owners want to sell, and several transactions have recently taken place. Longer term, pressure from slowing demand and costly regulations should keep pushing weaker plants out. The rest of the developed world faces a similar path. Countries like Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan are likely to see more shutdowns as demand fades and costs stay high, although the weaker plants have already mostly gone. The market is still short of refining capacity in the right places. Net capacity growth over the next 5 years is only about 2.3 million barrels per day, which is a very slow pace by historical standards. U.S. regulatory costs have also become a bigger part of the picture. When the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, increased the minimum mandatory volumes for 2026, it pushed the price of the D4 Renewable Identification Number, or RIN, to about 197 cents per gallon, well above 2025 levels. The Renewable Fuel Standard, or RFS, requires certain minimum volumes of biofuels to be blended into fuel sold in the U.S. The required minimum, known as the Renewable Volume Obligation, or RVO, is determined each year by the EPA. A RIN is the regulatory mechanism for tracking the production and blending of renewable fuels, and also allows refiners and importers to prove they've met their RVO mandates. As we noted in Runaway, D4 RIN prices have more than doubled so far in 2026. D4 RINs ranged from roughly 77 cents per gallon in Q1 2025 to a high of about 116 cents per gallon in August 2025, highlighting how much tighter the market has become this year. As a result of the tight market, the crack spread has risen significantly. A crack spread is the refiner's margin, essentially the difference between what it pays for crude oil and what the gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel produced from that crude sells for. Higher crack spreads do not directly set retail prices, but they indicate that refiners can recover crude costs and preserve margins, which is consistent with firmer product prices. The 3-2-1 crack spread has spiked this year, rising from a weekly average around $20 to $30 per barrel in January and February to nearly $67 per barrel in late July, its high point for the year. The 3-2-1 crack spread approximates a theoretical refinery crude yield that produces 2 barrels of gasoline and 1 barrel of diesel for every 3 barrels of crude input. The product prices won't change overnight, but once flows through the Strait of Hormuz normalize, the crude market should return to surplus. Refined products are likely to remain much tighter because refinery capacity takes longer to recover than crude production or shipping. Our forecast assumes Middle East refined product exports return to normal by the end of 2027, while Russian refinery operations will remain extremely challenged until hostilities cease. That should keep refining margins supported through most of 2027, although below today's exceptionally high levels. Even then, the product market will not immediately return to normal. Sanctions, infrastructure damage, and logistical constraints have likely permanently reduced the flow of Russian clean products into global markets. At the same time, China cannot be expected to come to the rescue as it will continue to prioritize domestic supply, removing another important source of export barrels. That is why we expect refined products to remain tighter than crude well into 2027. For the Love of Money was written by Kenneth Gamble, Leon Huff, and Anthony Jackson, and appears as the first song on side two of the OJ's seventh studio album, Ship Ahoy. The funky R&B song's title comes from a Bible verse stating that the love of money is the root of all evil, and it describes what people will do out of greed and materialism. The song is propelled by Anthony Jackson's funky bass line, giving it a dance groove that was attractive to the emerging disco scene. Released as a single in April 1974, it went to number 3 on the Billboard R&B and number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles charts. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. In 2016, the song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Personnel on the record were Eddie Levert, lead vocals, William Powell, Walter Williams, backing vocals, Anthony Jackson bass, Leon Isley Brooks, keyboards, Norman Harris, guitar, Earl Young, drums, and MFSB, orchestrations. Ship Ahoy was recorded in 1973 at Sigma Sound in Philadelphia and produced by Gamble and Huff. The album was a blend of love songs and socially conscious numbers. Released in November 1973, it went to number 1 on the Billboard R&B and number 11 on the Billboard 200 albums charts. It has been certified platinum by the RIAA. Two singles were released from the LP. The OJs are an American R&B vocal group formed in Canton, Ohio, in 1958 by Eddie Levert, Walter Williams, William Powell, Bobby Massey, and Bill Iles. They have released 29 studio albums, a live album, 20 compilation albums, and 92 singles and have sold more than 100 million records worldwide. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Vocal Group Hall of Fame, and Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame. Six members have passed through the group since its inception. The band still performs with original members Eddie Lever and Walter Williams, joined by Eric Nolan Grant. They are currently on tour at various venues in the U.S.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.